Drop to me, Edward.
Good evening. It's Monday night, December 18th, 2017, and the rematch only took 8 months to take place, but the rematch between the first round matchup between the Sharks and the Oilers, wasn't exactly what you wanted it to be if you're on the side of Team Teable. If you are a fan of the Oilers, well, you're celebrating. This is Teal Town After Dark, following that victory by the Oilers. Hello, everyone. Hope you're having a happy Monday night. I'm Eric Kura. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14, but you can be a part of the show by using the hashtag TealTownUSA, or you can join us in the YouTube chat on the page or the app. Tell all your friends. Tell all your enemies. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and the YouTube. And with us tonight is the lovely and talented Miss Rocket Backenda.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I have nothing else to say.
She's speechless, folks, for the surprise. And also joining us, Mr. Alex Martinet.
Hey, everyone. I'm trying to get my mic working, so yeah, just keep on going.
You're good. You're good. You sound fine right now, but you're good.
Yeah.
You work on this, and we will chat with everybody in the chat. Hope the chat you are having fun in there. Interesting. It's going crazy. In the chat already. You know, Gen X has put port the gauntlet on me to get names right for Oilers. No pressure at all. All right. So nonetheless, Sharks lose 5-3. We'll tell you all about it. You know, one of the things I think we talked about throughout the last week, Rocket, was that the Sharks had gotten off to rough starts early on, and tonight was slightly opposite. Pavelski gets a power play goal, his 7th on the year, from LeBanc and Burns to make it 1-0. Things seemed like, all right, here we go. We're doing pretty good.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it was early on in the game, and, you know, as they like to say, there's plenty of hockey left to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I was excited but still nervous, and I knew this would be a loss because I said as much on the Pucknologist. If you listen to the podcast, and if not, maybe you should, because apparently I'm a genius. The Sharks don't have an answer to Connor McDavid. No way, no how. And it was a beautiful goal in the power play, but as we've also learned, we can't have nice things. So if the power play was on point, then the penalty kill was going to fail at some point, and that made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was, and for the Sharks, I mean, AJ was banging on that drum like crazy, and it got to the point where I think we were down to like 28th in the league. Now it entered tonight, tied 10th in the league. What? And for the 6th straight game, the Sharks score a power play goal. Alex, what did you take from the Pavs goal?
I mean, I thought it was a great setup by LeBanc. It's a great rebound goal from Felski, but at the same time, I think more power plays just this season has just been a struggle for most of the league. And I think we had a good stretch the past 10 games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's good to see Pavelski come back to some top two line form that he has been previously, but, you know, this has been a down year for him also.
Yeah, it hasn't been the best year for a lot of guys this year. Later in the period, Mark Letestu from Leon Draisaitl and Oscar Klefbom.
Klefbom.
Yes, getting these right. Forgive me. This is like an internal thing about getting these names pronounced correctly. Letestu, his 8th on the year, makes it 1-1. And then Ryan Strom, which according to Dan Ruzanowski on the broadcast tonight, scores the 10,000th goal in Edmonton Oilers history from Draisaitl and Kyra to make it 2-1 after one. Shots in that period, 8-6 in favor of the Oilers. It's like a not too bad rocket, but I mean, still room for improvement for the boys in teal.
Agreed, wholeheartedly, room for improvement. Do you know how many hits there were in the first period?
In the first period? Oh, gosh, why didn't I not see this coming? I don't have it on hand. I just know the total overall. But
I thought it was an even play game, though, in terms of the first period. Even though it was 2-1 at the end of the first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of fluky bounces. I just thought that the Sharks should have at least had a lead or tied the game at that point.
I think that the ice, I don't want to say the ice was bad because it was like the ultimate scapegoat of all scapegoats, but puck seemed to be sort of rolling a lot and bouncing. So I'm not quite sure what that's an indicator of. But
we had the women's Team USA versus Team Canada yesterday, or
yep, that was in Edmonton.
But it's Canada. I mean, they should have this stuff down by now.
Sure, that's why I'm trying not to make it a thing. I'm positive it's not a thing, so I don't want to make it a thing.
Dave Schmeichel. Okay.
Why would I want to make anything a thing, you know?
I don't have the hits by period on hand. Overall, the hits were 29-9 in favor of Edmonton on the night.
Well, I think smacking one of your own defensemen in the face with the puck. Did he get it in the face?
Yeah.
Somewhere. There. It rolled off the board onto the bench and hit Dylan in the head. Thanks, Braun. I think that was a little bit made everybody kind of nervous because Dylan has been so effective in the defensive core this year. So it was glad that he came back.
Yeah, fortunately that he wasn't out for too long. Because the last thing he needs is another defenseman to go down. Just as, you know, you send Joakim Ryan down to the Barracuda and kind of sets up the return of Paul Martin, hopefully maybe Thursday. We'll see. But yeah, it's just the last thing you need is to self-inflict injuries for sure on this team right now with Couture out and everything. So
do you think he's going to play on next game?
I don't know.
Because it wouldn't surprise me if they hold him back at least 2 or 3 games.
I could see if he's not feeling good by Thursday, I wouldn't be surprised if they just let him have the entire, you know, let him take off Vancouver and LA, get the whole Christmas break off, right, yeah, and then be coming back for Calgary on the 28th.
I could see them pushing him back for LA since that's going to be a, you know, divisions, that's 4-point swing. I could see them circling that game instead of Vancouver, but yeah.
It's just, you know, I'm just not sure. Sharks, according to Sleepy Mofo, Sharks play a cleaner game, and of course we'd be talking differently.
Boy, howdy would we ever.
Yeah.
Rob Humphrey. Hey, blank wall guy.
Is it in Gen X you're saying Kyra, not Kyra? Oh, damn. I'm sorry, I let you down again.
You request.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving on. I think the most infuriating thing is when people say Marlou.
Marlou or Navikov. That was the one that really got me. So in the second, Ryan Nugent Hopkins gets his 14th on the year from Drake Cajula and Patrick Maroon, who during this game decided to, I don't know, not yank, stroke Bernsie's beard after they got tangled up.
It was so life essence.
Apparently it was life altering. That made it 3-1. Of course, the Sharks would come back about 2 minutes later with Tomas Hertl getting one in. They originally were going to give it to Meyer, but they looked in and didn't touch Meyer. So Hurdle, his eighth from LeBanc and Burns. LeBanc and Burns, both two-point nights for the guys tonight. Rocket after 2-3-2. We're in the puck game again, because this seems like the Sharks' aura of sorts so far this month.
I don't know if you can really say that just based off of this game, or are you basing it off of all of the games this month?
All the games this month. Like Carolina, we were down 3-0 and 4-1 and came back. Oh. Or even like Vancouver, where we were down 3-1 and came back to tie it to send it into overtime. You know, stuff like that, where they seem to be the comeback guys. Although tonight was a little, didn't make it in time.
Right. They didn't necessarily get all the way with these guys. Well, I think that San Jose could have been a little cleaner and more aggressive on the forecheck, because they were giving Edmonton an awful lot of time to just ticky-tap around with the puck and make all these fun passes. But, I mean, each individual player was getting as much time as he wanted with the puck on the end of his stick as long as he was in an orange sweater. And it was infuriating for me. Sharks showed up to play those last 6 minutes of maybe each period good and hard. Hard hockey. The rest of the game was questionable. Had they been playing harder hockey, I think we would be talking about a different game. I think that, this was the thing that I was thinking about. There is a delicate balance between confidence and desperation, and skating with both. And you need to be able to skate with both in order to be successful, I think, as a team. And Sharks couldn't skate with both at the same time tonight.
Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, I'm just... That's basically my thought, but I think what happened in the second period was the Sharks tried to match the speed of the Oilers, and that just didn't work at all. If you go back to the playoff series, the only way we got two games is when we slow down the tempo, and that was only the case the last 6 minutes of each period, mm-hmm. but like, that's just not enough time.
Agree. It needs to be harder.
Yeah, and each of those goals were off of turnovers in the neutral zone, and that's just something we just don't do at all.
But one of the things I thought on, especially on that third goal by Nugent Hopkins, is that the Oilers started to really pick up their speed and have a nice transition game.
Yeah.
And that really got the Sharks' defense positioning off. And it just seemed like they were slowing down after that. So it really worked to the Oilers' perspective to have that momentum swing. So it's a bummer, but...
I didn't think any of the penalties were any of out of line. I thought all of them were pretty much, you know, right. This was a game where I just think the Sharks just got outmatched, which I know that's saying that from Oilers, who are like, what? 10 point or the 10th place in the Western Conference, but
they're back, but they're slowly coming on. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry,
I have a question, kind of like a weird trivia-ish question, but how many games out of the last five Mr. DeMello has played has he made a trip to the penalty box?
That we can look up for you.
I would say four of the five.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. And I don't know, like, what do you do with that? Because that's kind of irresponsible, because it leads to a lot of chances that the other team takes advantage of, you know? So, like, how do we fix that? Why does that happen? I have those questions rage in my brain.
It's interesting. I'm looking at his game log through the last five games. He hasn't gone to the box the last three games. However, he was a -2 tonight. He was even against Vancouver and a -1 against Calgary. His minutes have been increasing as they've been going up. He played 14:50 tonight and had 21 shifts.
Which is a lot.
Yeah. And that might have been altered a little bit just because Because Dylan was out for a little bit.
God, I hope he's okay.
It looks minor.
I'm sure he's fine. He's if it's not fine, they'll sew it back on later. He's a happy kid.
Sew it. But to put in perspective, when the Sharks beat the Sens earlier this month, he had 12 shifts at 8 minutes 19 seconds, and now he's playing nearly 15 minutes. So that's interesting to keep an eye on with what's been going on. I'm trying to see what else is going on in the chat.
Who is your favorite Oiler, since we've talked about the 10,000 goals?
Obviously Rafi Torres. Come on now. The way he cheap-shotted Milan Mihalik in the 2006 playoffs was just unbelievable. And especially how the league just let him get away with it, too.
Wow.
Note sarcasm.
Well, that came out of nowhere.
I enjoyed that bit of trivia. I really did.
No, the best Oiler, I mean, if you're not going to count, if you have to say somebody other than Gretzky, Messi, of course.
I've always seen him as the best player, but if you care about winning championships, he's the best captain. And you know, he won in New York while Gretzky didn't win in LA.
That's true. Boy, somebody's phone is going crazy.
God damn it.
Sorry. To the third period we go. Patrick Maroon, after stroking Bernsey's beard, gets on the board, his ninth on the year from Nugent Hawkins to make it 4-2 Edmonton at 8:23. Nearly 3.5 minutes later, Marcus Sorensen scores in consecutive games with a nice little dangle. No, not Steve. Assisted by Braun and Melker Carlson to make it 4-3, and the Sharks seem like they are back in it. Unfortunately, they just really couldn't get a lot of pucks in to the net late in the game.
It was a pretty goal.
That was pretty. That'll keep him up here for a bit. And then, of course, the open net from Ryan Strome. He gets his second on the night, his sixth on the year to finish it off. Yes, the Sharks lose 5-3. So what did you take from all of this, Miss Backhander?
Well, I knew that Sharks would need an answer. You know, no, I'm kidding. I don't know about answers, especially with this team. I had a feeling that the rest of the Pacific Northwest and Western Canada would be difficult for the Sharks. I don't know why. I had a feeling, because they have struggled with the Oilers ever since in the playoffs. Their core hasn't changed too much since then. Couple pieces, but I mean, Zach Cassian is an absolute pest. And like I said, Sharks didn't come out with a whole lot of oomph for very long in this game. They had a lot of weird bounces, but they just don't go after the puck. They don't have as much, I don't know, offensive forecheck as they should in order to be aggressive against this kind of team. And you can't give the Oilers a lot of heavy possession, because they will do a whole lot with it. And then on top of that, they didn't clear the zone. So Jones was blocking, you know, initial shot, first rebound, second rebound, third rebound. And it's like, okay, the fourth rebound went in. God damn it, Jones. No. Let's stop and rewind a second here, Jones haters. Like, why are you not clearing the zone? Come on, guys. You've done this before. You're professionals. So just to watch them struggle right now is kind of frustrating, but I know that they know what their problems are, and I don't have any business telling them what their problems are. So I'm just going to try to kick it and relax and try not to get too frustrated with this team, because I know they're pretty frustrated with themselves. And if not, then they should be.
Absolutely. They should be frustrated with their play this month. What says you, Mr. Martinet?
You know, Canada is going to be a tough spot. I do want to say that our fourth line is complete trash. You know, Bodker had a decent second, but the third period was just not working for him. And then you got Ward and O'Regan. You know, I don't know what you do with the fourth line, because that is just one of the weakest parts of the team right now. Not enough good forward depth to help steer that away. But, you know, that's the main problem right now with the Sharks, the fourth line. Not necessarily a third line, but it's the fourth line.
Yeah, and along with the line juggling, because Logan was out tonight, you know, and Felix says in the chat just now, too, they're human beings as much as they are professional athletes. They're most likely have to be frustrated with themselves. Yeah, and I bet they are. But
one-timer says, well, we need Goody to get healthy again. Boy, there's something I never thought I'd live to hear. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but holy crap, people. When did you think Barkley Goodrow is going to be the one to get in and save your bacon?
And here's the thing. If we're saying that, then we are in deep trouble. I mean,
it might be that way. Yeah. But I think the saving grace is that we have a salary with room in the salary cap to do some moves, but like, there's what are our trade assets? So I just don't
exactly.
I just don't know what you get.
Start sacrificing picks, people are going to start sacrificing Doug.
Maybe he should have been gone a long time ago, though.
maybe not.
Worse. To kind of go back on the fourth line tonight, Randy Hahn mentioned that he hadn't seen Bodker out there, and then of course Bodker shows up. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he may have had like one and at the most two shifts in the third period. Bodker had 8 minutes, 17 seconds of ice time tonight. Danny O'Regan had 7:18. Ward had 10:34, although a minute 55 of that was on the penalty kill too. So, and that fourth line was not getting any time tonight. In perspective, you had the Joes playing 20 minutes at least. Jumbo at 21:02. That's just concerning. You don't want to get them that tired.
What did you guys think about Hurdle playing center?
Rude. Oh. Freaking Gen X in the chat, O'Regan's natural position bench.
Oh. Ouch.
But I guess Hurdle stepped into Couture's center spot in the third line or second line?
I guess second line.
Yeah. But
I think and he got our goal tonight, but I mean, who are his line mates though? That's the thing too.
Yeah, I couldn't name it because we don't have Donskoy. We don't have – who else do we not have?
I mean, Donskoy was –
Donskoy. We don't have Couture. We don't have Couture.
Donskoy played tonight.
Okay, so we do have Donskoy. Where was he?
Yeah, where was he?
I think he was on the third – I think he's on the third line with Meyer and Tierney.
Is he got injury, correct?
Yeah, he was back from injury. That's how he got the game winner, I guess – against Calgary the other night. So let me pull up the lines that they had, according to at San Jose Sharks on the Twitter machine. Hurdle was centering Bodker and LeBanc. So there's your issue. And somehow Hurdle got a goal out of that tonight. So
I do like the chemistry about LeBanc and Hurdle are somewhat building. They've been on a couple of lines together. It's just Bodker is Bodker. Like, I don't know. Who do you put with that line that works well?
Nikolai Goldobin and Bo Horvat.
Yeah, and Goldie got hurt the other night along with Brock Besser in their loss to Calgary. So, yeah, I mean, Nikolai Goldobin would look really good right now.
Was he playing well for Vancouver or
about you? But if you ask Nikolai Goldobin, he looks good all of the time.
Hey, to quote AJ Strong, hey now.
Yeah.
definitely now.
Yeah. Gen X in the chat saying entire system is filled with average at best bottom six NHL players. I can't see you're wrong there.
Majority of it, yeah, but not the top line, still top line.
Yeah.
I don't know about that because I haven't seen them play in any other system other than this one. I'm sure some of these guys would flourish in a different system, just because of their mentalities and their, you know, their individual skill sets and their playing styles. That's not to say that you know, that they're a bunch of garbage. I think it's perhaps the system is slightly flawed, and perhaps it's reached as far as he can go with this idea.
Gerald F in the chat, Bodker for Haley. Yes.
I am so on board with this. Yes. Send Bodker to Florida and Michael Haley and all of his family can come back to San Jose.
Yes, for Michael Haley and Jonathan Huberdeau. Oh, maybe Bodker for Barkov. Yeah, there we go. So Brody and Ross McCune are off the air. We want to say hello to everybody who's joining us on Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. Do us all a favor. If you are just joining us, hit that subscribe button down below or to the side, wherever it is, and make sure you hit us up on the Twitter machine at Teal Town USA. Gen X in the chat, system cannot improve foot speed or skill. Well, see, that's the thing, is Bodker was supposed to bring both, and
there.
Yeah.
How much other hot garbage are we hauling around with us other than Bodker, Hansen, and then the old guys who are kind of slow?
DeMello.
Yeah, and then DeMello. Okay, DeMello.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
I do think, though, even if the Sharks had the best system, I don't think they could match it, you know, a high-scoring game past three or four goals. I think as soon as you get three goals past the Sharks, it's basically over.
Well, it's a more so four goals past the Sharks, because that's what they've been given out on average this month. And again, it's not, you know, Jones's fault completely, and it's not the defensive fault completely. It's the whole, you know, defense. It's all of them. Let's be real here. You know, I will say this, like I was saying to a good friend of our show, Amanda, you know, I have more confidence in Jones than I would in Niemi, not to bring up the argument about Niemi versus whoever, but I know, but I'm saying, you know, something's got to give, because here we were, you know, boasting about how we were the best defensive team in the league, and now we're giving teams, you know, at least four goals to play with.
Well, we did have a light November schedule. I mean, our opponents weren't that great, to be frank. And I think we're starting to get into the tougher part of the schedule, even into January, where we have those 10 road games. You know, I think this is just, I think that we should have won more games in October, November, and we're going to pay for it.
Rocket, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree.
And it's all right.
Okay, so you know what the thing about it is, I don't think this is the bottom. I think that it could get way worse. I think that the guys are taking turns getting injured. I mean, they're not doing it on purpose. But, I mean, it just seems like the injuries are too severe this year. They've cut into the depth in too many places that I don't know if they'll be able to catch up by the end of February or March.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a good job while having all these injuries, you know, keeping the points flowing. You know, we'll get into it in the wraparound, but the Sharks have teams breathing down their behind them, that they are, you know, their objects are closer than they appear, and they're coming. To tie a bow up on this, Oilers outshot the Sharks 29-21. The Oilers went 0-for-2 on the power play. The Sharks went 1-for-3, although they had like a couple of those power plays were very abbreviated, in there. Like we mentioned before, the hits 29-9 in favor of Edmonton. The Oilers blocked 20-15. And the giveaways, the Oilers gave away more, 19-9. That's something usually the Sharks have been guilty of tonight. Faceoff wise, they won the Sharks won the faceoff percentage battle, 53-47. Although going through there, the only one that was below 40% was Jumbo at 20% tonight. Mm. So good on the faceoff wins, but just could not get it done overall. Strome with 2 goals, Maroon with a goal and assist, Dreisaitl with 2 assists, Nugent Hopkins with a goal and assist for the Oilers, while the Sharks had Sorensen, Hurdle, and Pavelski for the Sharks scoring goals, LeBanc and Bernsey with 2 points on the evening. All right.
For the wraparound?
Yes. I thought you were going to say something. That's why I had the pause. We will go to the NHL wraparound, which is Gen X's favorite segment when I'm hosting the show. All right. Let's make this happen. Please let me get this right. All right. In Beantown tonight, the Boston Bruins score 4 goals in the third period to take down the Blue Jackets 7-2. David Backes, the last guy to stroke a Sharks beard, got a power play goal on this, along with Brad Marchand, Charlie McAvoy, Dwight Heinonen, got a goal along with Krug, Bergeron, and Louis DeBrusque's son, finishes off the scoring as the Blue Jackets fall to 20-13-1. In New Jersey, the return of Adam Henrique. You should check that out on Twitter. He got some very nice goalie pads from his former teammates tonight on his return to New Jersey. And he scores in the second period, but it wasn't enough as the Devils beat the Ducks 5-3, thanking New Jersey. Wood with 2 goals, Brat Nussin with 2 goals himself, as Corey Schneider gets the win. Unfortunately for the Flyers, you guys suck. Thanks a lot for nothing, as the Kings regain first place in the Pacific with a 4-1 win. Alec Martinez, Trevor Lewis, Kempe, and Toffoli, all goals for LA, as Quick was in net for the Kings, while Jacob Voracek gets his 8th on the year to not do much for the Fly Guys. I pronounced Boston correctly. Thanks a lot, Gen X. whatever. All right. Keeping going here. In Denver tonight, it was the Avalanche 4, Penguins 2.
Wow.
Malkin with a goal. Tyson Barry with 2 goals, including one on the power play. Mikko Rantanen with his 10th on the year, as the Avalanche go to 34 points. And then, of course, the Sharks are defeated by the Oilers 5-3. What this does, and I'm not going to say if the season ended today, however, things are getting a little tighter in the Western Conference at this moment. Sharks still have the third spot in the Pacific at 38 points. However, Chicago and Dallas have 39 and 38 points, respectively, in the wild cards. Meanwhile, behind them, Minnesota at 37, Calgary at 37, Anaheim at 36, Colorado at 34, Vancouver at 34, Edmonton at 32. So the West is very tight right now with all of those teams separated. I mean, from 15th to, dare I say it? Let me pull it up conference-wise.
It's basically every team besides Arizona.
Yeah, pretty much everybody except for Arizona, poor thing, are in it. So between 15th and between 7th and 15th is separated by 7 points right now in the Western Conference. So every point matters. So that's an interesting one. There. Yeah. So in the West, it's a three-way tie for the top spot in the West with Nashville, St. Louis, and LA at 46. Vegas at 44. I still can't believe that that's happening. Good, Rocket.
Congratulations on their first year and being all successful and stuff like that. But I can't wait until see what happens next year. They don't call it the sophomore slump for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. In $500 million gets you a very nice expansion draft. Very, very nice. And with the eventual rival of the Raiders, I know, sorry, Gen X, we're talking football. But with the eventual rival of the Raiders getting into Vegas, it's probably important for the NHL to thrive very well in Vegas before they get another pro team in the area there. So with that, let me check in the chat, see what's going on.
Do you think Vegas is going to slip down the stretch? Because out of the three between Sharks, Vegas, and Los Angeles, I don't see Los Angeles slipping.
Well, it depends on how many goaltenders they can continue to come up with. Yeah. Also, I don't know how many other players on their roster they have on the IR, or if in any at all, because James Neal is he's still the real deal, and as long as he heads up that, he's so good. Oh my God, I don't think they're going to slow down either. I think it'll come down to injuries, insofar as that's going to really be a deciding factor in this race.
I think it all depends about how they finish off this year heading into the trade deadline, because I think they might make some moves this time around. You know, 3 months ago, I wouldn't say that, but now they're in a playoff position. I think they might go after someone to get a goaltender or defenseman. They're the team now I would say that they can possibly do some stuff with.
And it's not like they don't have like a kajillion draft picks to use to bolster up their roster right now.
Right?
Exactly. I mean, come on. Shoot. Amanda Dickens, thank you for watching, my dear. What's your take on people saying that Martin Jones is the reason we lost? Because there have been some people who are saying, you know, Jones is not looking good. Personally, I don't think he's 100%, but nonetheless, I don't think it's his fault either.
No, I don't think it's his fault. I think it's a team effort of suck. The forward core really needs to get their act together and just act like they care. They're really not pursuing the puck in anything other than lackluster, with the exception of Chris Tierney. That kid hustles, like consistently hustles, which is nice, but everybody else seems kind of dare I say lackadaisical about snatching the puck away.
Yeah, I totally agree. Most of the goals tonight were off of rebound chances, so second and third opportunities. Yeah, that sounds a lot like Niemi, but and maybe Jones should have held on a little bit longer for rebounds, but like most of them were like, I would say the one goal that caught me off guard was the second goal where Burns, everyone else was looking at the defender and just was sleepwalking.
It also, guys, did you think that the ice was bad tonight? Because I saw a lot of spinouts, especially from the Sharks. They weren't the quick footed, but they were also not exactly staying on their feet. And for that matter, the puck was the very rare bouncing a lot, because we've known for years how, and we've heard about how Edmonton has probably the best ice sheet in the league. But of course, you know, both teams do play on the same ice for that matter too.
Yeah. I don't think it was much of an issue. Both teams had to play with it. It might have impacted the Sharks just a little bit more, just because they wanted to slow down the game a little bit more, puck possession. And that's something that probably might have hurt, but like, again, I don't think it would have changed the score or changed the result.
Yeah.
Agreed. A collective suck.
It was a collective suck, and maybe they need to get, wow.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, the sharks. Well, all the sharks' problems, all the problems of the sharks are due to the GM who makes the roster decisions. This is years of trading games for rentals to stay in the middle. That's from Tracy Kelbaugh.
No.
It's a cumulative effort of failure. It's not one person who makes all the wrong decisions. There are several people that make small wrong decisions that lead to a cumulative wrong decision.
Timberk.
Yeah, I'm not going to, yeah, I'm trying, yeah. I'm not trying to point anybody out, but yeah, but yeah.
Yeah. Gen X saying, has the show, wait for it, jump the shark? Of course.
Oh my God. Not only have we jumped it, we've put it in between two ropes and have started double-dutching it.
Hey, Fonzie would be proud of us right now. That's all I'm saying.
Has it shut the ice?
Oh, my God. Anywho. Oh,
good one.
So the sharks get a couple of days off. They will head home, if they're going to do what they've been doing. They'll head home tomorrow and work and have practice on Wednesday, and then get ready Thursday for the Vancouver Canucks.
So I've been seeing a lot on the chat that people think that the Sharks are quitting on Peter Boer. Do you think that's the case right now? Or just losing the locker room?
No, I think they're banged up and they're old, so it makes them slower.
Yeah, and like Gen X just says, coach doesn't fix the composition of the team. It could be a combination of all of the stuff going on. I don't think they've quit on the coach, because if they quit on the coach, we'd be seeing, you know, replication of the 93 Sharks where they just let 10 goals on them.
oh, ouch.
Yeah, those weren't fun times, folks. Oh, my God.
That's a different era, right?
Oh, yeah, and that was painful. 11-71-2.
Wow, I wasn't around for that. Ow.
That was painful.
Oh, that was year two. That was the one. That's still an NHL record, right? And it will probably never be broken.
Most losses in 1 year.
Yeah.
So when I see the Vegas Golden Knights having 21 wins already in their first season, it just pains me to...
Yeah.
Sleepy Mofo, oh God, if you have to miss one Teal Town after dark, make it the one after the Canucks game where Puck will do Short House.
Ooh, you hush. Hey,
what the heck is that all about?
There's nothing wrong with it. No, can anybody
keep it up? I will break Jim Houston on the next time we are on Hockey Night in Canada.
No, I want to know. This is like a serious trivia question because I have this kind of brain. Can anyone tell me how many games in a row did the Sharks lose in 93 with such a terrible losing record?
Oh, gosh. I think it was like 15.
Was that an 82 game season?
It was actually an 84 game season.
Wow.
Because what they did was they had 82 games, 41 at home, 41 away, and then each team would do two neutral site games, and I think they did them in Phoenix and Sacramento.
Okay. Gen X has 15, Laurel says 14.
Yeah, it's like 14 or 15 games that they had. Where's the schedule and results? There we go. Show me. Yeah, so they started out with an overtime win against the Jets, and then they proceed to lose the next 9 games. And then they went on a rare 3-game unbeaten streak. And then they kept going and going. Let's see here. I'm trying to remember where that spot was. I went to the game where they beat the Kings 7-2, and then they perceived to go. They were 6-29-1 at that point, and that was December. And then they perceived to go 0-19-1. If I'm doing reading that right, 0-19-1 in their next 20 games before they beat the Jets on February 14th.
Oh my God. God, this is depressing. Why are we talking about this after a loss? Can't we talk about happy stuff like, you know, Jumbo's Rooster?
which hasn't been seen. So he needs to get 4 goals in this next
game. Should we make a missing poster for it? Eric, can you get on that graphic, please?
But what am I supposed to draw?
Well, maybe if we made a milk carton missing child ad for Jumbo's Rooster, maybe the game would turn around because someone would find it and give it to him, and then he'd be like, "Oh, I gotta whip this out, eh?" You know? All right, bud.
Yeah, bud.
Gotta whip it out, bud. Because, like you said, it's lost because nobody's seen it. So we need a lost pet.
That's a very good point. So it was to answer this, to the streak was 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 games they lost in a row.
So, oh my God, that congratulations, Sharks fans.
Which then also had a. In this season, near the end of the season, before they beat the Oilers on April 6, 1993, they also had a 13-game losing streak in there. And where is it? And yes, in the infamous game that AJ and I will talk about, along with Randy and Drew, they played the Calgary Flames on February 10th of 93, where they scored the first goal, and then the Calgary Flames scored the next 13. Which still is a franchise record for most goals allowed in the game.
Oh, these are fabulous goals because the structures of the league have changed, and these goals these records will probably never be broken. So
what I'm trying to tell to all of you who weren't following the Sharks at that time yet, or in the case of Felix, who says, "What am I talking about? 1993? I wasn't even born then." Just remember, folks, how quote unquote bad it is now. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as it was in 92, 93.
As bad. So it gets better, but it could be worse, or it just gets worse.
Yes. Exactly. So, with that, we shall wrap things up. Mr. Martinet, your final thoughts, and where can people find you?
You know, I've already said this before, but I think that the Sharks didn't really have the team to match up against the Oilers. You know, this is just because of Logan Couture, and I just think that the veterans are just not putting up the stats this year, or at least this half of the year. Who knows what happens in the second half? But yeah, this was an Oilers win that they definitely earned. This wasn't a fluke. But anyways, you can find me on Twitter at AlMartinet. I got a bunch of stuff I'm doing for Far Cry if you're into video games. So you can look over that at my feed if you choose.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Alex. And Gerald F. in the chat says, "Okay, happy stuff. Rocket's teal hair." I mean, come on.
Thank you.
Let's give some appreciation to the awesome teal hair and the awesome look that Rocket is rocking tonight.
Okay. That's all teal. I'm keeping it teal.
And so, Miss Backhander, tell your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
Final thought. So this was, I agree with Mr. Martinet that this was not the team that was lined up essentially to beat the Oilers. But there were a couple of different kinds of chemistries on this line than we've seen as of late just because of the personnel changes. I think some of it was unexpected but positive. I think there were a lot of expected gaps in performance that unfortunately the Oilers just took advantage of. The Sharks needed to be a little bit more aggressive on the forecheck, like I said, and try to get the puck away from the Oilers and keep it away from them. Martin Jones did what he could. One or two he should have had, but some of them the rest of the team should have had. So it was a collective effort of suck. Hopefully they don't do it again at home. My name is Rocket Backhander. You can find me on the Twitter machine at rbackhander76. Capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76, or you can check me out on Instagram, Rocket Backhander, one word.
That's who she is. And yours truly at PuckEye14 on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Where else am I on? Bumble, Tinder, you name it. You can find me there doing all kinds of stuff. You should check out the most recent edition of Pucknologists. It has some guy filling in for Hockey Jerk. I apologize for the awfulness that I included in that show, but Rocket and AJ make up for it.
JFK impersonation too.
Oh, jeez.
It's not even supposed to be JFK. That's the terrible thing about it.
Yeah, so you, at the very least, you need to check that out for sure on your free time. You can do that at tealtownusa.com. You can also find this on pretty much every podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button down below or to the side. Hit up tealtownusa.com for all kinds of stuff. We will be back with you on Thursday night following the game against Vancouver. So make sure you tune in for that. I might be at the game, so you fortunate people will only hear the Short House on the check-in. And let's, for those in the area, January 7th, I believe we are going to host our next Teal Town Takeover at Famous Dave's in San Jose. We'll get more details out to you as we get closer and closer. Awesome. To that time.
Yay.
Famous Dave's, but I've always been in that shopping center because that Target's right there. It says there's a Ross there too, but like, I'm bummed that I don't get to partake in this. Super bummed.
If anyone wants to donate a plane ticket for Rocket to come out to this shindig, by all means, hit her up on our Backhander76 on the Twitter machine.
Legit. But,
for cheesy, part cheesy. Until Thursday night, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. We will see you later. Have a great night.